tonight we're going to be talking about deception, delusion, and confusion. Deception, delusion, and confusion. Delusion, from the Cambridge Dictionary, means something a person believes and wants to be true when it is actually not true. Delusion, from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, the act of tricking or deceiving someone, the state of being deluded. Matthew 24, verses 3 to 14. While Jesus was seated on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will this destruction of the temple take place, and what will be the sign of your coming in the end, completion, consummation of the age?" Jesus answered, "Be careful that no one misleads you, deceiving you and leading you into error. For many will come in my name, misusing it and appropriating the strength of the name which belongs to me, saying, 'I am the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed,' and they will mislead many. You will continually hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end of the age. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs, of the intolerable anguish in the time of unprecedented trouble. Then they will hand you over to endure tribulation and will put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will be offended and repelled by their association with me, and will fall away from the one whom they should trust, and will betray one another, handing over believers to their persecutors, and will hate one another. Many false prophets will appear and mislead many, because lawlessness is increased. The love of most people will grow cold. But the one who endures and bears up under suffering to the end will be saved. This good news of the kingdom, the gospel, will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end of the age will come." When Jesus spoke to his disciples here, he was explaining to them what things would happen. The destruction of the temple is directly talking about the physical temple in Jerusalem, and it was destroyed. Jesus was warning the disciples about these things so that they would not be caught off guard. God has been prophetically speaking to us for at least 20 years that darkness is coming, great deception is coming, strong delusion is coming, and we are here in this place now, because all of these things are happening, and they're happening to the body of Christ. It's not the world that Jesus was talking to. It was God's people that he was trying to warn, that you need to walk in a way where you're not caught up in the things that are going on right now. This has not changed. Jesus talked about false Christs who will deceive and trick many people into believing that they are godly and doing the right thing. This is all over the church right now. All over the church right now. And you have to be ever so careful, ever listening to the Spirit to make sure that what you're hearing is God. And it's like Pastor Barbara was sharing this morning. Sometimes you're listening to somebody's prophetic word that they're giving, and part of it is God, and part of it is flesh. And you're going to have to learn how to discern what part is flesh and drop the rest. And don't take the whole thing into your spirit, man, because this is opening a doorway for deception, delusion, and confusion to come inside of your spirit, man. And this is one thing that's going on right now within the body of Christ. Nobody knows what to believe. Nobody knows who to follow. And they're missing the point of what God is trying to do and say in this hour. There are many motives for this, for the false Christ, but we must be aware that Jesus was talking to his disciples and explaining to them that this was going to occur. You can't pray this away. You can't fast this away. It's going to happen. Why? It was going to be people who were godly who would be committing these errors. And I know that this is not, you know, what you would think, but this is true. It's people that's godly that are being confused and deluded and walking in deception. Let this sink in for a moment. I think for myself, I always thought this scripture was talking about people who were not saved, who would attack the church. In reality, Jesus is trying to warn the disciples that people who once loved the Lord would allow for deception to take them over and cause them to do things that would not be fitting for a child of God to do. We can talk about all of the Christian musicians who are now finding a new faith. God isn't real. I've sang about God for 20 years, and now all of a sudden, I've decided that he isn't real, and he's fake, and he's a phony. And I'm challenging all of you to stop believing in God. Popular. Big followings some of these people have, but they've been deluded. And believe it or not, some people are following them straight into hell because they think that they're right. I knew it all the time. Now you've proven it. You've given me the evidence that I need. No, you really wanted to leave. You really wanted to go out into the world. Now you have your excuse. Go on out there. You cannot blame God because you are given your own Bible. If you don't have your own Bible, you can look it up on the internet. And I'm hearing now that we need to be cautious of the internet Bibles because they're changing some of them. They're changing some of the scriptures inside of them. Things that we used to know to be King James, they're just deciding, I don't need this anymore. We're writing it out. So you have to be very careful with that and compare scripture with scripture and make sure that you're not being deluded. In reality, Jesus is trying to warn the disciples that people who once loved the Lord would allow for deception to take them over and cause them to do things that would not be fitting for a child of God to do. Verse 9 is a key translation for this talk that Jesus is having. In there, he says, then they will hand you over to the unsaved. But in verse 10, it says that many will be offended. Who is going to be offended? Will the unsaved people be offended? Why would they be offended? Because they already hate us as Christians. Think about this. It's going to be your brother and sister in Christ that will become offended with you because of the word that you believe, because of the gospel that you're trying to share with them and keep them on the straight and narrow path and keep them out of deception, delusion, and confusion. They're offended. I can't believe that you teach deliverance. There's nowhere in the Word of God that says people have demons. We get it all the time. We get it all the time. People will write in and complain on the websites. They'll write in and complain on the YouTube pages. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, the people that are standing in front of us who are bound, who when we say the name of Jesus, the demons leave and run, it's evidence enough for me that God knows what he's talking about. It is going to be your brother and sister in Christ that will become offended with you. And this is really starting to occur right now. You really don't have to follow the Bible. The Bible is just a bunch of stories that are not meant to be taken literally. God understands you live in an alternative lifestyle. Why are you so judgmental? And the list goes on. And verse 12 goes to the heart of the matter. Because lawlessness is increased, the love of most people will grow cold. People are so unkind, so uncaring. They are only out for themselves. They have no desire to help anyone. And it's because love is being sucked out of the earth. It's being sucked out of the church. And what are we going to do when that love is gone? The church doesn't even have brotherly love and affection for each other. So when you go out into the world, you're really in a bad state, a bad fix, because there's no one there. We have to correct this. We have to make sure that we, as the members of the body of Christ, keep love going. And I don't know how many different times, how many different ways God comes back to this with us as the Lighthouse Church, but he always says we have to keep our love going. We have to keep in there no matter what. We have to forgive and we have to love. And we have to move on. So what? Someone hurt you. So what? Someone took something from you. Big deal. Are you going to die and go to hell because this person did this to you? And you're gonna step out of love, step out of the anointing, and cause yourself to be in a place where you're deluded, where you're getting into deception, where you're getting into confusion. God gives us standards for a reason, and he wants us to walk in those standards. And as soon as we start stepping outside of those standards, the doors open. Can't think of the phrase right now, but it's like their sin is crouching at your door, waiting to overtake you, waiting to swallow you up. With all the messages that God has been speaking to us about, the one thing that remains is that our love for God must not be allowed to become cold. If our love for God becomes cold, it will open the door for all of these other things that we talked about earlier. God isn't asking us to stay in the love walk just because it's the right thing to do. He is asking us to stay in the love walk because it's a protection against the evils of this age coming to rest inside of us. The more that we walk in this darkness, the greater the opportunity that we have to be overcome by this darkness. And I know that this sounds like an anti-religious thing to say, but it's the truth. We are surrounded by darkness 24/7. And if we don't have the light inside of us, we can be overcome, we can be consumed by this darkness. People fall. People fall every day. They're falling every minute of every day. And it's because we're taking our walk for God for granted. We're not holding true to the things that we need to hold true to. I can do this tomorrow, it'll be okay. I really don't have to have faith today. And that's enough for a little bit of delusion to get on the inside of you. And the next thing you know, you're not believing your prophetic words. You're not believing the Bible. You're not believing your Christian brothers and sisters who are telling you, hey, this isn't the way to go. You don't want to go down this road. I can hate if I want to. Yeah, you can. Yes, you can. You can. You have a choice. You can hate if you want to, but that hate is going to get deeper and deeper and deeper. And coming from a deliverance perspective, we've seen people who've reached the point of no return because they were playing around with God, and they come in and get a deliverance 1 week, go back out, do the same thing. Come in, get a deliverance the next week, go back out, do the same thing. Their devils get bigger, and they get harder to get out. And the harder that they are to get out, the person starts saying, I really don't want to go through this anymore because this is too hard. And you're making it hard for the deliverance worker, but eventually God is going to say, I'm done. There's nothing left for me to do. There's nothing left that I can do for you. And what a sad place. What a sad state to be in when God has to wash his hands of you and completely walk away from you. The more that we are out of balance in our love walk, the greater the chance that we have to grow into deception. Walking out of love with God is the quickest way to fall into deception. Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue, in the New King James Version. Hebrews 13:1 in the Amplified, let love of your fellow believers continue. Hebrews 13:1 in the Living Bible, continue to love each other with true brotherly love. Hebrews 13:1 in the Contemporary English Version, keep being concerned about each other as the Lord's followers should. All of those different ways to say that we need to walk in love. We need to be in love at all times. Now, I want to preface this by saying, just because we're saying love doesn't mean that you're gushy-gushy and you don't do correction. That's not God. God the Father corrects us. And if he didn't correct us, it wouldn't be love. So you're going to be in relationship with people that God sends your way that are going to correct you. And they're not going to do it in their flesh. They're going to do it in the spirit. You're going to get a prophetic word that says you need to straighten up or I'm going to leave you. That's love. You know what hate is? Just go ahead and do your own thing. You're the best thing in the world since sliced bread. The sun rises and sets upon you and all of the dirt that you're doing. That's hatred. And you need to recognize that as hatred. Because if God is not chastising you or correcting you or giving you little course corrections along the way, or you're rebelling against those things, you're not receiving his love. You're not walking in the place that he wants you to walk in. And eventually, you're going to get yourself in a place of delusion. And you're going to believe that everything you're doing is right. And no one will be able to correct you. You will be in a place where you will become unteachable. And you're in trouble. You're in trouble. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1-12. Finally, believers, we ask and admonish you in the Lord Jesus that you follow the instruction that you received from us about how you ought to walk and please God, just as you are actually doing, and that you excel even more and more, pursuing a life of purpose and living in a way that expresses gratitude to God for your salvation. For you know what commandments and precepts we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, that you be sanctified, separated, and set apart from sin, that you abstain and back away from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, being available for God's purpose, and separated from things profane, not to be used in lustful passion, like the Gentiles who do not know God and are ignorant of his will, and that in this matter, and that in this matter of sexual misconduct, no man shall transgress and defraud his brother, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things. Just as we have told you before and solemnly warned you, for God has not called us to impurity, but to holiness, to be dedicated and set apart by behavior that pleases him, whether in public or in private. So whoever rejects and disregards this is not merely rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you to dwell in you and empower you to overcome temptation. You know, incest is so bad right now. The spirit of incest is so bad. And it sickens me to no end to see an old man lust after his daughter, lust after his grandchildren. It's so bad. And if you are 40 years old and you're looking at a teenager thinking that they're going to be your wife, something is wrong with you. Something is deeply wrong with you, and you need to get it together, because you're going to be in a place that you're not going to be able to get out of. And it's rampant. It's everywhere. It is so bad right now with this incest thing. And it's, for some people, it's just like, it's no big deal. I can sleep with my daughter. I can sleep with my granddaughter. And they don't think anything of it. This is wrong. This is delusion. They've deluded themselves into believing that this is okay. And it's not. Now, concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write you, for you have been personally taught by God to love one another. That is to have an unselfish concern for others and to do things for their benefit. For indeed, you already do practice it toward all the believers throughout Macedonia by actively displaying your love and concern for them. But we urge you, brothers and sisters, that you excel in this matter, more and more, urge you, brothers and sisters, and to make it your ambition to live quietly and peacefully, and to mind your own affairs and work with your hands just as we directed you, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders, exhibiting good character, personal integrity, and moral courage, worthy of the respect of the outside world, and be dependent upon no one and in need of nothing. Be self-supporting. We're looking at a time right now where we possibly are getting ready to go into a famine. All of the signs are lining up. All of the economic factors are lining up. Are you in a position where you can take care of yourself and your neighbors next to you? And the church has known this for at least 30 years, that this day was coming. We should be prepared. We should have stuff stored and stocked up and ready. And I know God feeds people with ravens. I'm not coming against that or anything like that. But where are we at in the body of Christ when we're not ready for what's about to happen? We shouldn't be afraid of the truckers striking. We shouldn't be afraid of not being able to get anything in the grocery stores, them shutting off the cash. They're talking about cutting the banks off too. If you don't have any cash on hand, they're going to lock the banks up. They've already started doing it in different places because they don't want people to run on the banks. Delusion. Some people, oh, this will never happen to us. We're America. We're great. You know, we're self-sufficient, and our leaders are going to protect us. Your leaders don't care about you. They don't care about you. Gas is $4.09 a gallon right now here in Delaware. Do you think Carney is concerned about the gas that's going in your car? He's getting gas for the rest of his life from you. You're paying for it. His family is getting gas for the rest of their lives. We're paying for it. Biden, gas for the rest of their lives. The other 535 congressmen, they're getting gas for the rest of their lives, and you're paying for it. Do you think $4.09 a gallon is hurting them? Nope. Nope, not at all. Have you ever thought about that? This is the delusion that we're walking in, working with. Because they'll tell us anything that we want to hear. And everything is, oh, you're going to be fine. We're going to take care of you. We're going to make sure that we do a stimulus check. Stimulus checks don't last that long. How many people are getting surprised by their taxes? You thought you was getting a big lump sum return. Some people are finding out that they're owing money because they're counting the stimulus against them. And they care about us? If I heard God right, then there is a wall of confusion that is coming against the land. In this wall is all forms of hysteria. My elect ones must stay close to me in this hour or risk being overcome by this wall. I don't believe that this is limited just to the United States. I believe that this means the entire world. I believe that this is going to occur on a scale that we have not seen before in our time period. I believe that this is occurring as a buildup to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 to 3. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and a man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. This wall is a part of the great apostasy, the great turning away from Christ and all that is godly that will occur in our day. God shared that this wall is going to cause people to feel pressure, not only on the outside, but also on the inside. And we're hearing that from different people. They feel pressure. Some people will feel like they are going through a psychotic break. The pressure will be this bad upon people. Mental health services are up. They're up. People are going to see the psychiatrists, the doctors, and everything like that. They're up in astronomical numbers since COVID because these psychotic breaks are happening to people. God is warning us so that we can, one, know what's going on, two, be ready to help those who can be helped with love and deliverance through the blood of Jesus Christ. There will be some who will be overcome by this wall of confusion, and they will fall to the enemy because of their rebellion against God. Let's define confusion. I think you will be surprised, like I was, when you find out what confusion actually means. The state of being mixed or blended so as to produce indistinctness, not clear, distinguishable, or perceptible, or error. Indistinct combination, disorder, tumult. Let's break this down. The state of being mixed or blended as to produce indistinctness or error. Error is running rampant in the church right now. People are taking the word of God and twisting it to suit their own needs. People are taking scriptures and stripping away what God says, making up their own gospel. Let's go to Mount Carmel with Elijah. 1 Kings 18, verses 20 to 21. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him not a word. We know this story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Elijah defeats them and God gets the glory. But what is Elijah addressing here? Elijah is addressing the people's state of being. They are literally in a state of being mixed between doing what is right in the eyes of God and doing what is right in the eyes of man. The mixture was so bad that God sent his prophet Elijah to address the people. God had to send Elijah to challenge the people to get out of indecision. Get out of indecision. Either serve God or serve the devil. Don't sit in the middle waiting to see what's going to happen. All right, looks like it's going to be going good for God, so I'm going to jump over here on this side. Nope. God doesn't look like he's winning, so I'm going to go do my thing and be with the devil. Doesn't look like that revival they've been promising is coming, so I'm going to keep staying out in the world and taking my chances. You see how this works? Revelations 3, 14 to 16. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things say the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of creation, of the creation of God. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." God is never tolerant of indecision. The people were refusing to do what God had commanded them to do, which on a basic level was just to serve God. But the attractiveness of sin caused them to stop in between the position of doing what God wanted them to do and doing what they themselves wanted to do. And you see this little graphic here. You got the little person there that's in confusion. And you see opinion number one, serve God. Opinion number two, serve sin. People are standing in between those two places, and instead of making the decision either way, they're walking in confusion. Elijah was addressing the people's confused state. So these people's mixed state of being caused them to not appear to be clear in who they were serving to themselves, but also to the people who were on the outside looking in at them. They were not clear who these people were, i.e. the world couldn't tell who they were. This confused state of being brought disorder into their lives. James 3, verses 13 to 16. "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts. Do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. And sometimes the body of Christ gets into this state of envy, this state of jealousy of your brother. Oh, their gifting is so much better than mine, but my gifting is greater, and I just wish I could be used. You're putting yourself in a place where you're opening the door for confusion to come inside of you. Self-seeking. I'm going to sit close to the leaders in the church because I want them to know that I'm anointed. I want them to be able to feel it come off of me as I sit next to them. This is the dumb stuff that the body of Christ is doing, that they're trying to prove that they're godly. You don't need for God. You don't need to do that kind of stuff, because when God wants to use you, he's going to speak and he's going to tell the person in charge and you'll be used. And God will get the glory, not you. There are people who have been seeking what they want instead of what the Spirit wants. God is not in this type of atmosphere. This is contrary to the Spirit of God. So with the Elijah on Mount Carmel, God recognized that if something didn't change with the people, they were going to go into error. This is the key for confusion. This state of being opens the door for these people to be in error. Why error? Because they were refusing to make a decision but about what they needed to do. It's not that these people didn't know what to do. They knew. They were refusing to go either way. 1 Kings 18:21. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him not a word. Isn't this fascinating that they didn't answer Elijah? What kind of state would you have to be in to ignore the man of God? It was that much of a conflict in their being that they ignored Elijah, which really is God's representative on the earth. James 1:12-15. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I am tempted by God," for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Consider this, that the people are so desirous to do what they want to do that they completely bypass the Holy Spirit. People are so desirous to do what they want to do that they completely bypass the Holy Spirit. This is a strong conflict for someone who has not truly committed themselves to serving Christ. It becomes a war within that person's soul. Paul talks about this war in Romans chapter 7, verses 14-20. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. This conflict has stopped many people from moving forward in Christ. This conflict right here, this whole process of wanting to do good and not doing it, versus wanting to do bad and doing it is at work naturally within our flesh. Those who are not fully saved struggle with this conflict. I want to be clear in what we're talking about. This is not a spirit of confusion. A spirit of confusion is something totally different than what we're talking about. A spirit of confusion will manifest as a demonic being in and through a person. This confusion that we're talking about now is actually the person themselves who have transformed into this confused state. Sometimes we don't discern that we're dealing with human flesh and a human will, and we waste considerable amount of time in deliverance sessions with people, and it's not a spirit, it is the person. It's the person that wants to sin. It's the person that doesn't want to give up the flesh. This occurs because the actions of the will of the person has committed acts of disobedience to indirect and direct commands from God. Some people are actively being judged by God right now because they refuse to give up their ways. Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 to 20. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and the statutes which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. So that right there is telling me that God will send confusion upon you. Remember, there is an active will to everybody, and God will not go against your will. If and when the person fails to yield to God, there are laws that God already has that he can use at his discretion. If and when a person fails to yield to God, there are laws that God already has that he can use at his discretion. The forcefulness of the will is a process by which a person can start down the road to becoming reprobate. You taking your will and telling God that you're not going to do something, you are opening the door for you to become reprobate. In other words, if you start telling God that you're not going to do certain things, you can open yourself up for confusion to take you over. If you notice here in the last couple of weeks, God has been warning the body of Christ about the importance of staying in obedience. I believe the Spirit of God is giving us this warning to keep us out of the danger of walking into this state of confusion. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 5 to 12. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Lying wonders. People are getting healings that are manifesting right now, and they're not from the Spirit of God. People are getting prophetic words that are giving them instruction, and they're from the psychic realm, and they're causing you to be destroyed. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This is happening to people right now. Right now. This is serious. The spiritual shift that has taken place, that is setting us up for the end time harvest, involves this confusion. It is a deliberate walking away from what is right before God. So taking everything into consideration that we just learned about confusion, let us put some things together. When a person refuses to make a decision about something that they know that God has called them to do, there is an opening that gets created within the reasoning part of their soul. This opening creates a process that starts this person down the road to delusion. The person knows what is right. They have been taught what is right. Others have modeled right behavior in front of them, and the Holy Spirit inside of them is witnessing to them that they should live holy. When people reach this state, as they did with Elijah on Mount Carmel, this halting between two opinions, this state of being confused, forces the issue with God. This is a critical time in the life of the person who remains indecisive about the basics of their walk with God. And what you have to see is that this isn't about complex issues. It's about simple things like, am I going to serve God? Remember, Elijah focused right in on the point of indecision on the part of those people at Mount Carmel. It's at this point that they were getting ready to go into strong delusion. This is where God has been saying to us that he is done with the church, because he has been preaching to them and preaching to them, but the church won't change. The church won't give in completely to God. God will let you believe a lie. God will let you go your own way. God is not going to make you serve him. At this stage, many people have been told that they have been given time to make that decision, and we are literally at the flashpoint where they will not be able to come back. Again, the little graphic. Serve God, serve sin. The person in the middle, confused. When this confusion hits these people, they're going to attack those in the church, because by definition, they're going to want to spread that confusion. When this confusion hits those people, they're going to attack the people in the church. You can look these scriptures up when you get home. 2 Peter 2, 1-3, and Acts 19, 23-29. These talk about destructive doctrines and practices that are in a church that need to be changed. You have to serve the Lord with the entirety of your heart. You can't walk around in deception, delusion, and confusion. The time for you to make that decision has long been passed, but I believe that God wants to give those another opportunity to get it right and to make sure that you are in the right place with God. The altar's open tonight for you to be able to receive a greater level of discernment and a greater level of understanding that these things are going to overtake you if you do not stay in the love walk.